Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning I want to have a bit of a closer look at the Gospel reading. When it comes to some of the parables, and the Good Samaritan's one of those sort of parables, some of these parables some of us know so well, you may ask, what more can we learn from them? I find one of the beauties and wonders of Jesus' teaching is that if we keep going back to those passages that we've covered many, many times before, we still find the Holy Spirit at work revealing things to us that we wonder, how come I didn't see this stuff before? They're well worth revisiting. And even if it's not something new, it is good to visit with old friends, isn't it? And Scripture can at times remind us of things that maybe we haven't forgotten, but we haven't spent much time on for a while. So this morning we're going to look a bit closer at the Good Samaritan. Now, you may wonder what the heck this is about. Well, we didn't have a kids talk, so. When I was in high school, and yes, we're going a long way back these days, not quite 50 years ago, one of the things we had in my high school, and this was in Brisbane, a state school, a school of about 1,400, 1,500 students, every year coming up to the Christmas break, we would have a Christmas concert in our auditorium. We had an auditorium where all 1,400 could sit. Basically, groups were encouraged to put sketches and items and all sorts of things together. And a group of my friends, we put together a sketch of this. What happened? Santa was flying over Mount Ararat. Noah's Ark was really big back in the late 70s. So he was flying over Mount Ararat and something went wrong and he crashed into the mountain. And while he was trying to recover, these thugs, and I got to play one of the thugs, that was my job in the skit, I was one of those thugs up there. These thugs came, they not only took all his gifts, took his sleigh, scared off the reindeers, they also beat the snot out of him. And that was the fun part in the sketch. Good friend playing Santa, we got to beat him up on stage, you know. 17-year-old kids really, really enjoy that. He did unfortunately let us know that on the weekend before he had been up at the coast and was badly sunburnt. I'll leave that to your imagination. What happened? There is Santa, a horrible wreck on the mountain. And along comes a pastor. Sees Santa over there moaning and groaning. And looks at his watch and says, I've got a sermon to finish. Must go. And dashes off. Next came along a youth leader. Had a guitar around his neck and stuff. 70s, remember? And so he sees Santa there and says, sorry, mate. Got a bunch of kids waiting for me. She'll be right. Catch you later. Heads off. Santa's there groaning. And then, as I keep reminding you, it was the 70s, then came along a hippie. The indication was that he was probably smoking something he shouldn't, but this was Queensland in the 70s. You didn't say that out loud. And so he goes over, you know, sort of, hey, dude, you know, what's wrong? What happened? And Santa mumbles something, and so he takes off his coat and puts it around Santa and fixes him up and takes Santa off and looks after him. That's where we basically ended that particular story, except we had a narrator who popped out and says, who acted as the good neighbour? You know, just as a question there. I mean, we would all say the hippie, wouldn't we? So that was how, one of the ways we as teenagers presented this story to our secular friends with lots of laughter and everything else. And I'm sure Jesus won't be too upset that we changed the story just a little for that. But there are many major points in this question of who is my neighbour, isn't there? One of the things that happens with parables is that their shock value wears off. We even have in our secular world the concept of a Good Samaritan. There are Good Samaritan laws. It's become part of our culture that we lose the shock value of that the goodie in the story is a Samaritan. Our Jewish audience that Jesus is talking to, especially this educated Jewish man, despised the Samaritans. The Samaritans had a long-going argument with the Jews about who were really the people of God. They had a long argument about where the temple should be. Lots of things. There was a long history of disgust. And what often happened, if you can picture it, people living in the north in the Galilee area where Jesus did a lot of his preaching, Jerusalem's down the south, in between the two is Samaria. And did you know that many people who travelled regularly to Jerusalem went over this way, across the Jordan, back to front for you, but you get the picture. They went the long way, crossed the river twice to get to Jerusalem rather than going through Samaria. They added about 4 or 5 days to the trip rather than go through this place. They did not get on well. We read the story and we know what happens. We lose the shock value. Even in our retelling in the 70s, that it was a hippie that helped. For teenagers, there's not a lot of shock value in that. But I've heard many pastors over the decades look at, if we wanted to get the same shock value today, who would you least expect to help? Now, for each of us, this is where some of our own internal prejudices and biases come through. And I'm not trying to name and shame in any way this way. But just in your own mind, who would you least expect? What sort of person would you least expect to help? And that's the person Jesus picks, remember. So you could be thinking, well, maybe it's an atheist. They don't believe in God. Why would they help someone? Maybe a gay rights activist. Maybe we could have that instead of the Samaritan. Maybe these days a billionaire. We tend to not like billionaires all that much, given how insanely amount of money that they've got. Someone, it may be someone from the opposite political party to what you like. You may not like people from a particular country or whatever. As I said, I'm not trying to point out whatever your bias, my biases are, but we all have them. We need to be working on them, as this parable says. But picture that person, someone from that group, as the one Jesus says is the good neighbor, the one who helps, the one who acts in a way that is pleasing to our Lord God. That's the shock in this parable. That it is not the people of God that are doing or showing forth mercy here. It is not they that are showing forth God's love, is it? They're going past. What we have happening is the ones you expect to help don't. the one you least expect to help does. Now, this is a good mirror for all of us to look in. How many times are you, in this story, the priest, like the priest and the Levite? Are you like the story I told you? Are you like the pastor or the youth work? You're too busy doing God's work to do God's work. You're too involved in what's going on to help someone. There's a challenge there. I hope I feel a challenge when I think and I look at this. But have a look closer at what Jesus says the Samaritan does. He doesn't just stop and help the person get to the next place. He stopped. Remember, the other two don't even stop. They see, and it's almost like they go onto the other side of the road and don't see you, you know. There's almost something comedic about, even in Jesus's telling of how these two basically go out of the way. They know what they should do, but they don't. Here's a fellow Jew beaten. Now, we could argue, and I think rightly so often, we may be afraid to stop at someone else beside the road because it may not be safe. There are a lot of situations out there where people are taking advantage of. And Jesus isn't looking at that in this particular one. But I would still advise you, caution. You often get scams going on. You do get hostile situations that I would not advise you to just boldly enter into, though the Lord does wonderful things. But let's have a look at what he did. He stopped and went to him. He bandaged his wounds. Notice there was oil and wine involved in that. There was expense. He put him on his own donkey. So if this poor man was on his donkey, met the Samaritan would have to walk. Took him to an inn and paid for it. Didn't drop him off and say, I'm sure some friends will come, some family will come and fix the situation. He paid for it. Then also gives assurance that all costs would be covered. Covered him for a couple of days, and on the next way through, I'll check to see if there's any other debt. He didn't just help, he goes out of his way. And he doesn't just go out of his way, he goes to an extent that it hurts. That's part of the challenge Jesus is presenting us. When we say that we love our neighbor, I mean, we as Christians agree with what the teacher of the law said, that all of the law is summed up with loving God and loving your neighbor. We know that this is what we should do. But often I feel, and I'm thinking of myself primarily here, we say we've shown love to someone where all we've done is something that was convenient. What I mean by that is, last year it was, we gave Nola a lift to Kalgoorlie. And because we were being good neighbours to Nola. We were going to Kalgoorlie anyway. We were still being good friends, good neighbours, doing that sort of thing. But can you see the point I'm trying to make here? Often what we're putting sort of little check boxes of, yes, I'm a good person, I'm doing all these things the way Jesus would want me to. What we are doing is what is convenient, what we were going to do anyway, and we haven't put ourselves out. What I think Jesus is challenging us here today is to take that risk. Help someone's where it will actually put you out. It will hurt. I am an organized person, as many of you know. One of the things that hurts me most is changing schedules. But I have tried that And once again, this is a very minor thing, but I've tried that as your pastor to, regardless of my schedules, people come first. So if someone wants to talk, you talk with them. So sometimes when we put ourselves out, when we do things that mess with us, that hurt even a little bit, the other person may have no idea that that is going on. And it's not for you to tell them. And I must admit, I do know a few people who, no one here am I thinking about, who when they help you are very graphic in telling you how much trouble they are going to help you. That wipes out this whole concept. The Samaritan doesn't leave a list of all the things he does. But where I think Jesus is pointing us here is that going that extra mile, being willing to put yourselves out. And one of the things I feel I've been really blessed in the 2.5 years that I've been here so far is the number of stories that I have heard about you guys, different individuals throughout our congregation, not from them, but from someone else, and even people at times outside of the church group, telling me about the good work you guys have done that is often being noted as good work because you've put yourselves out to help someone. You've taken the long way to get home, to drop something else off to someone else. And people have noticed this. One of the other things I find, and I'm not trying to get swelled heads or anything here, but one of the other things I praise the Lord for is that often when I talk to you as an individual about some of these good works, you're shocked. What I mean by that is you don't see that you are doing good works. And that's the Holy Spirit at work. You are doing them because your argument normally to me is, well, why wouldn't I? You know, it's just common sense. And we want the Holy Spirit to be at work in us so that helping people around us, helping our family, our friends, and total strangers is the sort of things we do. It is just who we are. The indication here was this is just who the Samaritan was. And this is how God wants all of his creation to be. Imagine what sort of world we would have if we all treated each other like the Samaritan treated this stranger. Wouldn't it be wonderful? There is a world coming that is going to be like that. But also in this, as I said, loving your neighbor, not just doing what is easy, putting yourself out to help. But why are we doing all this? Think about how far our Lord Jesus put himself out. Scripture tells us that while we were yet enemies, he died for us. Not because we were good friends, not because we had done something that God thought, oh, I better do something and help these people. They're pretty good folk. But while we were enemies, while we were the ones who had turned our backs on God, he became one of us. He lived that life. Think about it. God Almighty, we're told in Colossians, in the Gospel of John, about how all creation was done through Christ Jesus. Someone who was involved in the creation of the universe became one of us. And not in a palace, but in a lower income working family. He got dirt under his nails. He went through all the messiness we go through of toilet training, of learning to walk, of making friends, of disappointments, of enjoying life, of having parents not understand you. All of that he went through, all to lead him not to be not to some palace, but to the cross. It all led him there to die for you and me. At any time, he could have said, enough. We see when he's arrested in the garden. Remember, Peter draws his sword and cuts the guy's ear? What does Jesus do? Heals him. This is a person with the power of creation at his fingertips. Says elsewhere that he could have called legions of angels to help him. As they beat those nails into his flesh, he could have said, enough! But he doesn't, does he? See how far he went out of his way for you and I. Is it in any way unreasonable to think that we as his followers will go out of our way for each other? That we would go out of our way for the stranger? That is what Jesus is encouraging us, what he is inviting us to do. That as we come to grips with all that he has first done for us, we would show a similar love to those around us. Not in our own strength, but through the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.